To federal contractors, the Trump administration feels a bit like an unbaked souffle. Lots of broken eggs in a hot oven, but nothing fully risen yet. Leaders at one of the influential associations, the Professional Services Council, say they're hoping to see some of the Obama administration rules rolled back. Joining me with more, the council's executive vice president and top legal advisor, Alan Chavotkin. Alan, good to have you back.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Before we get to some of the rules and the possible rollback of them, let's talk about strategic planning for federal contractors. It must be a little bit difficult right now with so much up in the air.
There's a real challenge, and our member companies and the industry loves predictability and consistency, and those two things are in short supply right now. And so it's a real challenge for companies who are government contractors or who want to be government contractors to really strategize and how to plan for and execute strategic plans for the government for the coming fiscal year.
Now, we haven't really heard much that I've seen coming out of the Small Business Administration from Ms. McMahon, who was installed there very early on, relatively speaking, in the administration. Have you seen anything there? I don't see any change in policy yet.
Nor do I. In fact, on their Small Business Administration website, they haven't yet found a picture worthy of putting up on the agency's website for the new administrator of SBA. It's also true there are other websites as well. But what we had a conversation with a large number of our member companies last week talking about that. I think the analysis it may sound simplistic, but it's actually very complicated. You've got to look at some of the government-wide implications that are affecting the marketplace generally. Then you've got to look at the agency's specific activities, what's going on within those where you have new leadership or maybe no new leadership in that activities. Obviously, the company's strategy and the company approach, unique characteristics, are very important to bring into play because making sure the government wants to buy what you want to buy. And finally, there's some of the implications from the financial markets, not only for publicly traded companies, but even for the privately held companies. How are the financial markets and how are the financial institutions reacting and what their expectations are with respect to the Trump administration. So we've talked a lot about those four levels, four pillars of a conversation, and I think that that was an important discussion. I think companies need to think about that as they look at their strategic planning and execution in the government space.
With respect to looking at agencies, this might be an example. There was an executive order signed by the president the same day as Jeff Sessions became attorney general, ordering the establishment of a task force in justice to look at crime reduction through violence and immigration and drug policy. And so that might be an example where a contractor might say, golly, if they have to establish a task force, there might be support functions needed, data analysis, and other services related thereto.
Absolutely. A good example, similarly, related to the immigration policy, the president has laid out a different strategy with respect to immigration, and some of the initiatives underway in the State Department are now appear to be almost in opposite. And so making the agencies go back and reevaluate what their acquisition strategies were for a number of initiatives, where the policy is coming from. And again, it may not be something that can be done easily. Many of these things are just unsure. In fact, it was, I believe the president said that he had not talked to the attorney general, to Mr. Sessions, about some of these things yet. So very much a work in process. But that lack of predictability and that consistency, again, a real challenge for those who are already in the space and those who want to come into the government contracts market.
We're speaking with Alan Chavotkin, Counsel and Executive Vice President at the Professional Services Council, and let's get to some of those rules on fair pay and other rules that were put in by the Obama administration, specifically for federal contractors.
There's actions already underway. Congress has a procedure enacted in the 1990s called the Congressional Review Act that allows the Congress to disapprove and essentially to through a joint action by the House and the Senate and approval by the president to disapprove of a specific rule. And the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Federal Acquisition Regulation, which was published last August, was the target of one of those actions. Last week, the House of Representatives passed a joint resolution to disapprove of that rule in its entirety. That joint resolution is now over in the Senate. We're hopeful. We're a strong proponent of overriding this rule. We're hoping that the Senate will act on it in the very near future, and the president has said that the administration supports its repeal. Now, to be clear, our objection to the rule is not because we support labor law violations, but this rule had nothing to do with enforcement or labor law violations. It had a lot to do with, in our view, unnecessary paperwork and administrative that had nothing to do with the underlying compliance with laws. The House has taken action on seven other, used the Congressional Review Act process to disapprove of seven other regulations, some in the Department of Interior, some in the Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Labor, and others. And so the Congress feels that they have a unique opportunity to support the president's view of reducing regulations by attacking and disapproving of some of these. I suspect that pipeline will shrink a little bit because the Congressional Review Act has a can only be applied to a recent rules. It can't go back to the entirety of the Obama administration's tenure. But the president, of course, can, whenever he wants to, sign executive orders to override prior executive orders. And I'm pretty confident that those are being teed up within the executive branch right now. Timing, of course, will be up to the president.
Is the fair pay the one that is most egregious, do you feel?
It is of the current lot, yes. The good news is that the federal courts in October had put enjoined enforcement, so the rule is not put into effect. The Justice Department has was defending the rule under the Obama administration, asked for an appeal of that rule. They've now subsequently and recently asked for an extension of time to determine whether they want to pursue an appeal of the federal district court's injunction. It's a nationwide injunction against enforcement of all of the fair pay rule except for a small portion of it. But the congressional action would disapprove of the entire rule.
And I guess we should briefly say what that rule would have required contractors to do.
The Fair Pay Act would have required contractors to report to a centralized database any violations or allegations of violations of one or of up to 14 federal laws, rules, laws, regulations, and at least one designated state law equivalent. It would have required the government to make an affirmative determination that a company who has such a violation or alleged violation is a responsible contractor and thus eligible for award. And it would have created within the Department of Labor and each of the major federal contracting activities a new office called the Labor Compliance Advisor that would give direct advice to the contracting officers on that decision. So our concerns stem from a lack of due process, both for companies over allegations, because an allegation is equal to a conviction unless it's overturned. It would have taken decision-making authority away from contracting officers on the question of a contractor responsibility and now put it in the hands of a labor compliance advisor whose training and experience and engagement is going to vary across federal agencies. So there were, and then of course the reporting to a centralized database, and that database wasn't ready for prime time, didn't exist yet. So for all of those process reasons and deformities, again having nothing to do with sanctioning violations of the labor law, we strongly oppose the rule, and I'm glad to see the House take action to disapprove of it.
Alan Chavotkin is counsel and executive vice president at the Professional Services Council. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Tom.
We'll have a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.